Now, Ask Dr. Love with psychotherapist, author, love and relationship expert Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. For expert advice on love and relationships, call into the show at 888-463-6748. That's 888-GO-FOR-IT. Or you can submit your question online at AskDrLove.com. Now, here's Dr. Love.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and I want to welcome you once again to my show. Before I begin the show, I just want to say that my heart goes out to all the people living in the Northeast Corridor who have been so devastated by this hurricane. I myself had a beautiful 300-year-old tree just taken down to the ground, and it was just so sad, like an old friend dying, and that's nothing compared to what a lot of you are going through or have experienced. So my heart is with you, my thoughts, my prayers. Be safe, and I hope that you're back to normal as soon as possible. Now, today's topic is how to know when to call it quits. Now, sometimes relationships are rocky, but eventually the sea's calm and it's smooth sailing again. Even if your relationship has been underwater for a while and the tide of emotion seems to always run too high, and or even if your relationship is drowning in the still waters of indifference, there may still be hope. But how can you know when to ride out the storm and when it's time to abandon ship? So today I'm going to show you how to navigate out of the stormy seas and into the calm shore of clarity, from violations of relationship laws to unequal levels of commitment, lack of shared vision, intolerable traits, faulty communication problems, fear of being alone, stunted personal growth, and even the intrusion of old scars. I'm going to leave no stone unturned as I really help you evaluate your relationship's health. So stick around to discover the signs that a relationship is beyond repair and find out if it's time to break up or not. And later in the show, as always, I'm going to be answering three questions that I selected from my website. The first one's called Worried Wife. And here I advise a woman who doesn't know how to handle her husband's former girlfriend with whom he had three kids. And she's now torturing them both with fits of jealous rage and attempts to ruin him financially. So stick around as I tell her how she can handle this really tough situation. The second question, lady whose husband says he never loved her. I help a woman who's desperate over the fact that her husband recently told her that he's never loved her. And she knows that he harbors great resentment toward her for her periodic rages against him. So stick around to find out how helping him work through his hurt and anger is the key to rekindling his love. And third, in Is This Relationship Worth Saving? I help a woman whose boyfriend throws tantrums over everything, including her cooking and traffic jams. So despite the fact that he's driving her, to quote her, knucking futs, in this way, in all other aspects, the relationship is great. So stay tuned as I help her determine whether this relationship is worth saving or not. Now, we've got also, after those questions, Reading Between the Sheets, where I help you resolve those tough sexual problems. And this one, you masturbate as a substitute for sex with your husband. Here I'm helping a woman whose hand is working overtime because when it comes to sex, her husband doesn't give her the time of day. So stay tuned to find out if his refusal to make a sexual pass at her is a sign that she should be giving her relationship with him a pass. All right, so now on to today's topic. As I said, sometimes relationships are rocky, but eventually the seas do settle down. But other times, relationships like Humpty Dumpty can't be put back together again. So whether you're in a hot or a cold war, in either case, you're probably not happy and haven't been happy or fulfilled for some time. But should you break up? Well, the thing is, everybody experiences low points in relationships. And that's normal, and most couples work through these times. And while there are no formulas for deciding when to break up, there are some signs to watch for. And if you experience more than a few of these signs consistently over a long period, it's probably time to move on. Now, just so you know, no matter how discontent you and your partner may be, rarely do two parties simultaneously arrive at the same conclusion to break up. And although this can happen, it's more likely that you and your partner are going to hold differing perspectives of the relationship as it develops and changes. So in evaluating a relationship to decide when to call it quits, ideally, you'll work together to come to a consensual, logical decision about the status of your relationship. Now, while it's best for both persons to work together on assessing the relationship, you can still work on your own to evaluate your relationship and see whether your relationship should or should not have a future. So let me start with a general point about what I call violations of relationship laws. Now, here I'm talking about basic requirements that must be met in order for a relationship to survive. And whatever people think or say, if these basic relationship laws are not obeyed, there is no relationship. So what are these violations? Well, degrading language, name-calling, sarcastic put-downs, physical abuse of the partner or the kids, sexual abuse, and that's partner or spousal rape or sexual abuse of the children, and infidelity, unless both partners have agreed to an open relationship or marriage. Now, there are cases in which couples choose to weather an adulterous fling to renew their marriage or relationship, with both working on behaviors and attitudes that may have contributed to the affair. So that's not a definite done deal if you're both willing to work at rebuilding the relationship. And after months or years of rebuilding, many claim that they're happier than ever, grateful that they didn't call it quits at their marriage's darkest hour. So another violation of relationship laws is illegal activities like gambling, theft, breaking and entering, gang activity. These are just some of the problems that can damage a potentially healthy relationship. Also, alcoholism and drug abuse without any efforts to quit. Irresponsible spending behavior or gambling that endangers the welfare of the family or impinges on the other partner's needs. Here's another violation: refusal to discuss and arrive at agreements regarding parental practices, and refusal to work at a job or housework and equitably support the family, and systematic refusal to consider your partner or your spouse's feelings and to work at understanding them. I mean, it'll sound like that's the way it is. If you don't like it, there's the door. Now, if you're the object of any of these behaviors, you have to put your foot down and state that they're unacceptable, because a mate's or a partner's systematic and repeated refusal to change is cause for separation, not negotiation. Now, many couples will make a last-ditch effort, and they may even schedule an appointment with a marriage counselor, but if there's a rigid disposition of either partner, this is going to render this last-ditch effort dead on departure. Now, beyond violations of relationship laws, what are some other signs that it may be time to hit the road? Is one partner less committed than the other? Do you both want the relationship to work? Are you both putting forth a similar amount of effort? Or is one of you working harder than the other to hold things together? And one or both of you give up, it's going to be difficult to have a meaningful union. And keep in mind that there can be temporary or extenuating circumstances affecting the relationship, like a change in employment status or home life adjustments, extended family relationships, budgetary changes, shift in spiritual views, or even interference of a third person. I have a couple now where they had a family member living in the house, and it totally upset their apple cart. But once the person left, they were back on balance again. Now, some people care enough about each other and their commitment to work through trying circumstances, while others want to escape spiraling stress and ongoing challenges and call it quits. And, you know, one classic view of love is that one person in a relationship usually cares more than the other. My mother used to say, there's the kisser and the kissed. And that this balance of affection can change so that the other eventually feels stronger than the original partner who cared more at first. Now, sometimes both partners feel strong for a while and then neither cares much at all. And relationships do go through these cycles of emotional imbalance, and many couples choose to weather their shifts of feeling to stay with each other as their relationship grows and evolves. But in the face of competing interests and responsibilities, such as college, career, family, community, it may be easy to just all call it quits and give up on the relationship. But when this happens, one or both partners may experience regret later, and they may feel that it was right to call it quits, preventing further complications or escalating issues. Now, here's another thing that may be a sign that it's time to end it: if one partner has already left the relationship. And although a pretense of staying together as a couple may be present with occasional phone calls and dates, one of the partners may be spending less time with the other and, in fact, be pursuing other hobbies or interests. Perhaps the partner has grown bored or preoccupied with other concerns, or your partner might be caught up with friends, activities, and lose interest in a one-to-one relationship. Now, if one person doesn't seem to care as much as before, it may be time to reevaluate where the relationship is headed and whether both parties are willing to put in the required effort to rekindle their former affection. Now, here's another possible reason to end it. If the partners are pulling in opposite directions, busy schedules, new friendships, and community involvement may come between couples that had been focusing solely on each other up to that point. And this drifting apart could signal the natural end of a relationship, at which point you may want to call it quits without further effort. Or you may decide to renew your interest in each other and see if you can revive the relationship or perhaps share some of these outside interests. And much depends on your commitment to the relationship and to each other. Now, here's another one. If you've noticed intolerable traits in your partner, you know, the more you get to know someone, the better chance there is of seeing things you weren't aware of before or that didn't bother you before. I remember reading somewhere, I can't stand hearing him breathe. That's a pretty intense sign, you know. So habits like smoking, drinking, overeating, sloppiness, sluggishness, TV watching, pets, computer involvement, they need not be problems in themselves, but if they bother you or the person you're involved with, your relationship can be in serious trouble. So getting someone to change or give up a long-standing activity or hobby is not easy. And calling it quits may seem like the logical solution, particularly if the relationship hasn't existed for very long. Now, here are some other reasons why the relationship may not be salvageable. You're not getting what you want or need from the relationship. And let's face it, if you're not happy, chances are your partner isn't either. Here's another. You can no longer communicate with your partner. Now, everyone has different communication styles, and you don't want to spend all your time in a relationship trying to communicate with each other. And if it's just too much work and you just can't get it together to understand each other, this can be a deal breaker too. Now, here's another sign that the relationship may be spent. You no longer look forward to spending time alone with your partner. And, you know, you may still have a good sex life, but you don't talk to your partner. There's no intimacy emotionally. You prefer to spend time with other people and avoid being alone together. Here's another symptom that the relationship may be not salvageable. You criticize or micromanage your partner. And if you're always concerned with some aspect of your partner's personality or appearance, don't look at your partner, look at yourself, because people who are deeply in love overlook minor annoyances and they see the big picture. So here's another sign. You compare your partner to others. When you love someone, you don't compare your partner to other people. And if you find yourself doing this, you have to reevaluate your relationship. Now, here's another danger sign. You try to change your partner. Often we fall in love with people who don't suit us. And if you find that you're constantly trying to change your partner, it may be time to move on. And here's another. If you don't laugh anymore, humor is something that all relationships need. If your relationship is lacking humor, if you no longer find your partner's jokes funny, you can't have lighthearted conversations, maybe a sign that the relationship is on the fritz. Now, here's another one. If you're doing all the giving or all the getting. Now, relationships are all about mutual benefit. So if one partner is benefiting over the other, the relationship is clearly unhealthy. Now, if you're the one who's receiving all the goodies, you may not be willing to give up all this manna from heaven. But beware, because your partner is eventually going to come to resent you and the imbalance, and your relationship will crash later rather than sooner. Now, here's another one. Your friends no longer like being around you when you're with your partner. Your friends may like your partner, but they no longer like the effect your partner has on you. So when a relationship isn't right, your friends tell you the truth, and often they're the first to see when a relationship has soured. And here's another one. You no longer feel good about yourself. You think you're not as worthy as you really are. And think about how you felt when you first fell in love with your partner. And if this feeling is lacking, you want to look at your relationship. Now, here's another sign that the relationship is in trouble. you've lost yourself. Many people involved in long-term relationships find that they have given up their dreams. They don't have plans for the future with their partner. And they have difficulty breaking up because they have forgotten how to be self-sufficient all the same. So even though their life together doesn't fit, they can't imagine being alone. And this creates a fear of loss and insecurity, and that fuels the desire to keep the unhealthy relationship together. And that fear really is connected to the fear of being alone. Many people will stay in the most dreadful, unhealthy relationships because they don't want to be alone. And obviously, that's an old scar from childhood where you were abandoned, rejected, or neglected, and you just can't be alone with yourself. So, and you know, you need to understand we're alone. We're born alone. We live alone. We die alone, even when you're in a good relationship. And just knowing that you can stand on your own two feet, gravity will keep you from floating away. This is a very freeing thing to realize. You don't want to stay in a relationship just because you don't want to be alone. Now, let me take a little bit of a break, and then I'll give you a few more points about how to know if it's time to break up or make up. Be right back on Ask Dr. Love.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To speak to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, call 888-463-6748. AskDrLove.com is the web's premier relationship advice site since 1996. Visit AskDrLove.com to search thousands of free relationship advice articles on any relationship issue you may have. Or you can submit a question to her free advice column. However, if you're listening live, why not call in? Don't be shy. Dr. Turndorf wants to help you, and this is a unique chance to get a personal answer from one of today's most respected experts. So, if you have a question for her, please call in now at 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. Now back to Ask Dr. Love with Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
Welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and we're talking about how to know when it's time to call it quits. Is it time to abandon ship, or are you just taking on a lot of water and we can bail the water and you'll be better? Now, when it comes to breakups, couples fall into two distinct boats. Now, boat one, there are those who are just too quick to get divorced or break up. These couples act impulsively, and when the going gets tough, they get gone. And these couples risk repeating the same mistakes in their future relationships, and for you, if you're that kind of couple, it's important to slow it down. You don't want to make any decisions in the heat of the moment, and the breakup shouldn't be the expression of anger or revenge. Now, you know you're ready for a divorce or breakup when you can walk out the door with no anger, frustration, or hurt. Otherwise, you've got unfinished business, and unless and until you look each other in the eye feeling peace, no hatred or resentment, you're not ready to get a divorce or breakup. So a breakup should be a cool, rational decision that's arrived at after you've taken the time to fully assess yourself and look at your own issues and old scars that affect your ability to form and maintain a relationship. My personality profile will help you do that. That's free with a newsletter sign up. And then you're also going to want to have an assessment of your partner and his or her relationship readiness. And you want to look at your level of compatibility. And there's a test also free with newsletter sign up. Is your partner ready for a relationship and are we compatible? That I invite you to use to help you do these assessments. And even Create a Mate free with the newsletter sign up will help you see how closely your partner matches your ideal. So you shouldn't get a divorce or a breakup until you've turned over every stone and investigated every avenue of rehabilitation possible. And have you gotten help for your relationship or your marriage? Have you exhausted all the avenues of putting your marriage or relationship back together? And that means everything from reading books, going to a therapist, speaking to a clergy member, spending time focusing on you and your role and what's going on. And so you really need to ask yourself, what was your marriage or relationship like when it worked? When did it go wrong and why? Is what you're fighting about worth breaking up your marriage or relationship? What do you want? And what is it costing you to be in your relationship? Are you willing to put in the effort to make the relationship work? And what are you doing to contaminate the relationship? And this is a very important thing, because whatever baggage you bring to this relationship that's causing the boat to sink, you'll bring to the next one. So I always say to my patients, clean up your side of the fence. Fix yourself, heal yourself, because if you don't do it in this relationship, you're just going to be taking your baggage with you and having to fix it the next time around. And before breaking up, make sure you researched, planned, and prepared yourself legally. And make sure you're ready to adopt a new standard of conduct with your children if you have any, and you're willing to create a new relationship as a co-parent, and that you're ready to be supportive and collaborative with your ex so that you're not using the kid as a punching bag to get at your ex. Now, since relationships are your emotional healing and spiritual training ground, if you do decide to leave, make sure you realize what you've learned from your partner and what you still need to learn and improve within yourself. Now, the second category of couples are quite the opposite. Instead of leaving too quickly, these couples won't let go even when their ship is sinking fast or when it's already sunk. Now, if you won't let go, despite of violations of relationship laws or all the other relationship problem signs, you know that you're in the throes of a full-blown repetition compulsion. You're repeating old scars from childhood in an attempt to heal them with your current partner. And leaving your partner would feel like giving up the hope of healing that old scar from childhood. Now, if this is your case, you got to read Till Death Do Us Part so you can figure out your exact old scar and help yourself to heal it. And then you'll be free to move on from the destructive relationship that you're trapped in. Now, end it if you've suffered physical and or psychological abuse, financial exploitation, sexual abuse or degradation from your partner, past the point of damage to your health and safety. End it if your partner constantly pressures you to do something you're not comfortable with, like being part of a dangerous or criminal activity. Harsh ultimatums and threatening statements that create pressure to you are all signs of a potentially dangerous relationship. And don't fall for the manipulation like, oh, if you really love me, you'll do this trick. Now, end it if you're in endless strife or despair, and it's taken over the major areas of the functioning of your couple: communication, sex, finances, and emotional support. End it if jealousy becomes a major issue, because a relationship becomes unhealthy if your partner tries to put restrictions on who you hang out with, when, and for how long. Your partner is not in control of your social life. You are. End it if your partner's been involved in long-term alcohol or drug abuse, an addiction that your partner cannot break free from or won't break free from, and your life or your kids' lives have suffered markedly because of it. End it if you're involved in long-term alcohol or drug addiction that you can't break free from, because you aren't doing anyone any good by staying in the house and in the relationship. And end it if your relationship was based on superficial foundations that no longer work, like partying, shared hobbies, sex without love, and you're ready to move beyond these things to form a much more spiritually evolved and emotionally evolved relationship. Now, work to save the relationship if you and your partner are operating under an unfinished emotional business. And I'm referring here to those old scars from childhood that sink our relationship boats. If your old scars are fueling your hurt and your anger, then your breakup isn't a clean break. And in a nutshell, when we first fall in love, we all have unconscious fantasies and expectations that our partners are going to fix the wounds we carry from childhood. And when they don't, disappointment runs deep and emotional sparks fly. And so if you break up, you're going to take that wounded part of yourself to the next relationship, and you're going to soon find yourself in the same miserable boat. So heal your old scars, and you may actually not feel so disappointed in your current partner. I have a patient, for example. Her parents were very neglectful of her, very abusive, very abandoning. Now, her husband has seasonal affective disorder. And when he enters his own self-absorbed, depressed pit, she emotionally regresses to childhood, and she feels deeply sad and abandoned. Then she feels he's the worst husband, that her life is entirely horrible. She forgets in these moments all the times of the year when he's fine. She starts planning a breakup. And I worked with her and I helped her to realize that she's just remembering how sad and alone she felt as a child. She's literally regressing back to that childhood point of injury. And I got her to separate then from now. And now she's able to see him for what he is, a loving husband, but a flawed human being. So healing her old scar helped her to keep the relationship. So, here, work to save the relationship if you have a core foundation of similar values and beliefs that you share, especially spiritual and moral values. Work to save the relationship if you still trust each other and you know your partner is on your side and you have faith that your partner will work with you for the greater good of your relationship or your family. Work together if hard times have taken over suddenly without giving you time to find your center. Health problems, trauma, financial problems, addiction regressions, and depression can come on in an instant and make things look really dark. But give it time, let the smoke clear, and try to be a friend to each other until it's over. Don't end your relationship if you're caught in a negative response cycle where negative behavior triggers more negative behavior. So break the cycle by gaining control of your own negative reactions. Call for a peace treaty. Give your partner time to get a handle on his or her own negativity. Till death do us part, we'll show you how to do that. Save the relationship if you have a tendency to run from commitment at the first sign of trouble. So take some time to cool down and work to become friends again. Commit to friendship. Remember what you used to like about your partner and act like you care. And it's good for you to see if you can stick through the problems for once, no matter how it ends up. Keep the relationship if you've drifted apart slowly and suddenly discover you're living with a stranger. This generally happens due to neglect. So work on it. Talk, listen, spend time together and see if you can rekindle that love. Now, get help if you're constantly guessing whether anything can be done to fix your relationship and you don't know whether it's worth trying to fix. Get help if you and your partner have survived terrible hurts and are still wounded. It may be worth one last effort to heal. Get help if your partner's needs take priority over your needs and you find your energy being sucked dry. And if you're locked into a caretaking role, you need to explore why you accepted this role before you jump into another relationship, because it's also possible this relationship can be fixed. And if you don't heal the caretaking role, the need to be a caretaker, you'll just get chapped nipples from nursing someone else. And get help if misunderstandings don't get worked out because you both are not really willing to listen and you fix judgments about each other. Learn how to break down that wall between you. Look at your part and then see what's left to salvage or not. And on a final note, ask yourself, are you still in love with your spouse? Are you hurt? Are you scared? Are you angry? Are you confused? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you're not ready to make life-changing decisions. You have more work to do. It's premature to break up. All right, let me give you a couple of tweets on this topic before I take a little break. Here's some tweets. Is it time to walk or just talk? Is lack of listening what's actually been missing? Living in happy matrimony is the ultimate antidote to alimony. Say that three times fast. That's a tongue twister. When your partner feels truly understood, he or she won't want to move to another neighborhood. When it comes to relationships, listening is the best medicine. Staying in a destructive relationship because you fear being alone is placing yourself in a dangerous zone. If your relationship is on the rocks, try stuffing your mouths with socks. Is your relationship broken beyond repair, or do you secretly continue to care? Here's another. If you still feel a flicker of love, then don't be so quick to throw in the glove. Instead of knocking out each other's lights, use my listening skills to resolve most fights. If obtaining the upper hand is that for which you are vying, you will find your relationship to be endlessly trying. When it comes to distressed relationships, sometimes hope springs infernal. So long as both partners are committed to trying, then don't assume your relationship is dying. If your partner has decided to never look back, there's nothing you can do to get your love back on track. Beneath the embers of anger lies a bundle of hurt. If you open your heart and truly hear your partner's pain, there's a good chance he or she will be willing to try again. Repeated violations of even just one relationship law is quite simply the final straw. Alrighty. Let me take a brief break and I'll be back with you in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To speak to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, call 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. If you like what you're hearing, you can learn about Dr. Turndorf's techniques for turning conflict into connection and healing in her critically acclaimed, groundbreaking book, Till Death Do Us Part, Unless I Kill You First, a step-by-step guide for resolving relationship conflict. Find out more about this book and read a free excerpt by visiting AskDrLove.com. This is Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. And if you have a question for her, please call in now at 888-463-6748. This show is for you, the listeners, so please give her a call now. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf. I hope you guys are all snug like little bugs in a rug now. I think the worst of the storm is over. That wind was really scary, wasn't it? It sounded like wolves howling. If you're in the Northeast, you know what I mean. All right, so here's a question. It's called Worried Wife. Dear Dr. Love, here's my problem. Prior to my marriage, my husband had an on-again, off-again relationship with his ex-girlfriend. Their initial breakup was at her request, and a mutual let's sleep together on and off because we are familiar with each other relationship formed between them. They had two children in the committed portion of their relationship and one during the casual part. My husband has never denied his responsibilities as a father and continued to stay close to his children. Then we met, and a month later, we were married. It was so quick and took us and everyone else by surprise, and I'm happy to say that it's been 3 years of marital bliss, with only one thing that keeps rearing its ugly head, his ex. Our marriage was a shock to her, and I understand this, but it's been 3 years, and when my husband visits his children, she makes comments that reflect that she still carries a torch for my husband. During our short engagement, my husband spent many hours on the phone and in person reassuring her that he had every intention of being a true father to his children, that it was over a long time ago, and reminding her that she was the one that called it quits to the commitment, and she was the one that suggested that they see other people afterward, keeping things casual. Now she has placed herself on the cross, so to speak, mentioning to whoever she can how hard done by she is. Further, she has taken it upon herself to badmouth me, whom she has not met, to the children, in effect ruining any chance I might have had in forming a positive relationship with them. She's also taken my husband to court in an effort to raise child support monies to ridiculous amounts. Where do I sit in all this? No man's land. My husband does not want me involved. His concern is that I will get hurt in the crossfire, and I am finding it difficult to sit on the sidelines and watch him hurt by this woman. As of late, she has proven herself irrational. My husband phoned home from her house, inquiring if he needed to stop by the store on his way home, and he ended the call to me with a kiss and I love you. She started shouting names at my husband, shouting how she never got any affection like that, and carried it out onto the street as he tried to leave. I am at a loss and would appreciate any suggestions on how to deal with this. Thanks, worried wife. Okay, listen, I can't help but wonder if your husband is, without realizing it, provoking his ex-girlfriend's jealousy. Now, I'm saying this because the phone call that he made to you right in front of her was very provocative. Since he knows that she is carrying a torch for him, why would he rub her face in the fact that he loves you? And the only reason that I can come up with is that he is actually furious with her for dumping him, and so he's paying her back. And seeing her blow a gasket must give him some gratification. The only problem is you are receiving the fallout. So he really needs to do a hard look at his behavior. He needs to honestly ask himself what reaction he wants to provoke in her, rage, jealousy, and so on. And he needs to also own what feelings are driving his own behavior, bitterness, resentment, anger, and so on. So I would also wonder, If his ego was bruised when she ended the relationship, and by behaving in ways that provoke her to chase after him, his unconscious mind may actually be attempting to boost his ego. After all, having a woman crazy for you is an ego-boosting experience. And just a thought to examine and discard if it doesn't fit, but I'm thinking it might fit. And once he examines the feelings that are motivating his behavior, he'll have more conscious control over his actions. So my point is, when a person is angry and doesn't know it, the anger is more likely to seep out in ways that he or she doesn't realize. And when he becomes clearer on his thoughts, his feelings, and his motivations, he'll be able to make a conscious decision on how he wishes to behave. And I think the decision will come down to the following question. Which does he want more, to get his rocks off or to create peace and harmony in his world? And if he wants to continue driving his ex up a wall, then he's going to continue behaving in provocative ways. But if he's really ready to stop sticking it to her, then he'll become discreet when it comes to displaying feelings for you. And he certainly won't display feelings for you in her presence. And that will surely help tone her down. At the same time, he also has to examine what else he may be saying or doing to provoke her jealous fury. And if and when he decides that he wants to stop igniting her fury, he also needs to examine how he encourages her fits. Okay, now, one really good way to encourage another person's behavior is to pay attention and respond. So if he wants to curtail her fits, then he needs to walk away, say nothing, and or leave the room or the house whenever she goes nuts. And a last idea for helping to tone her down, I know that he has tried to use logic, reminding her that she is the one who ended their relationship, in order to calm her down. But trying to talk another person out of his or her feelings never works. So has he ever tried to simply listen and understand how she feels? Often a person will keep singing the same tune, griping over and over again over the same issue because that person still doesn't feel resolved. And in many cases, feeling heard and understood is all that the person needs to resolve a particular issue. Remember also, feelings aren't wrong or right, and that they're just downright irrational many times. So if he decides to listen and understand her feelings, he shouldn't try to talk her out of them or reason them away from her. And if she feels that he wronged her, she's entitled to her distorted view of reality. And if your husband is willing to temporarily view the world from her own distorted lens, she may feel sufficiently heard to get on with it. Now, I hope that he has the strength to do the self-examination I propose, give up the provocative behaviors, and listen and understand her pain. And this plan should move you past this nightmare. And if I were you, I would also have him read my answer as well, because he really needs help with this problem. Okay, so you'll let me know how you do. Now, here's another question that came in that I selected. It's called Lady Whose Husband Says He Never Loved Her. Dear Dr. Love, my husband and I have been together since we were 22 years and all, married for 19. I think he's going through a major midlife crisis, but I'd like your advice, please. 6 months ago, he finally confessed to seeing someone he had met at work, although they hadn't had sex, and he knew almost nothing about her. He said he loved her and was leaving me. I was devastated and went to pieces. The shock was unbelievable. He said he had never loved me properly and felt that I had always tried to control him. We have always had a stormy relationship, as I can fly into a temper easily, and he said he was frightened of my anger. I flew into a rage when he confessed all this, and consequently he didn't leave and agreed to finish with her. As it turns out, she didn't fancy him anyway and was only looking for friendship. He said the friendship was important to him, as he felt we had never been friends. We've decided to stay together, as I love him and can't imagine life without him, and he wants us to start by being friends. But I can't come to terms with the fact that he doesn't love me, and he says he doesn't think he ever can properly. When pressed, he says there is a bond of sorts, but that he feels empty and doesn't think he can ever love anyone properly. He said he can fall in love, but not sustain it. He is a loner who would rather be on his own and now realizes that the love he felt for the other woman was just a crush. He says he needs to try and find himself and just wants me to leave him alone to sort himself out. But I'm hurting really bad at the thought he doesn't love me and probably never has. My whole world has fallen apart. All I want is a happy, loving marriage, but he holds on to such a lot of resentment from down the years. and I'm confident that I can change and give him the space he needs, but can our marriage survive without his love, or is there a chance it can grow? Please answer this, as I am desperate. Well, listen, I do hear how desperate and upset you are, but I don't think all is lost, because there is a solution to this problem. Tucked into the middle of your question was a vital clue to the source of the problem and the key to resolving it. You said your husband holds resentment from years ago. Buried resentment kills love feelings. So when your husband says that he can't sustain love, what he is really saying is that he buries his anger, and no wonder then that he can't sustain love. Now, the second clue was you mentioned that you explode when you're angry. Explosive outbursts leave the receiver of these outbursts feeling very hurt and angry. And if the receiver happens to be someone who can't handle his anger properly and buries it, like your husband, you can begin to see what a dangerous combination you have here. So what needs to be done to repair this relationship is this. First of all, you have to agree to deal with your angry feelings differently. And from now on, when you feel angry, you've got to walk away, count to 10, never express or vent raw rage to him again. And I'm not saying that you can't feel the feelings of anger. You can, but you must never give raw rage to him again. Now, this is true for all of us, not just you alone. And I talk about this in my book, Till Death Do Us Part, unless I kill you first. And I'm going to let you know that nobody can vent raw feelings of rage and not pay for it, because it will boomerang back on you. We all have to learn to step back and coolly and factually describe the behavior that upsets us, and we must speak like scientists describing an object, which is our feelings, under the microscope. And this cool and factual description of feelings permits the receiver to hear what we're saying and not feel damaged. And when we describe why we're upset, we have to use what I call my XY formula. I felt X when Y was said or done, and then you say what you would prefer in the future. And in order to protect your marriage and ultimately yourself, you must agree, no more venting raw emotions. Now, at the same time, you have to tell your husband that he can't work this problem out on his own. Because yours is a relationship problem, it has to be healed within the relationship with the help of the other person in the relationship, and that's you. And next, you have to tell him that you realize that he has been very angry with you over the years for the way you have delivered your anger to him. And tell him you realize that you have not spoken properly and that you will change your behavior. Then explain to him that buried anger is killing his feelings of love for you, and that he needs to work on his pattern of swallowing his feelings, his negative feelings. And tell him that you want him to promise to tell you right in the moment when you say or do something that upsets him. Remind him that if he quits this relationship, that his problem is going to follow him wherever he goes, and when his next lover or wife pisses him off, he will swallow his feelings of anger, and soon he will wonder why he can't sustain love with her. So you're inviting him to solve the problem with you and not give up your entire shared life and history. So to review the plan, you have to promise to stop exploding, and he promises to tell you in the moment whenever you say or do something to upset him. Now, remember that when he tells you what upset him, you need to be very open and interested and thank him for his feedback. And this will encourage him to keep bringing you feedback. And realize that his feedback is love insurance for both of you and for your relationship. So you're going to find that as you both handle your anger differently, that his love feelings will return. And I promise you, I've seen it thousands and thousands of times. Couples who were already divorced or about to be divorced or living separately who thought the love was dead. And when I help them handle their angry feelings better and communicate them in a constructive way, and they listen and understand each other, the love shines through. It resurges from the embers, you know, the embers of rage. And also, I want you to remember, anger is never the primary emotion. It's always hurt. So when you feel mad, you need to reel it back and find out what the real primary emotion is. I'm hurt. I'm scared. I'm sad. When you talk about that, you instantly evoke empathy in the other. All right. Let me know how you make out. I'm going to take a little brief break, and I'll be back with you in 1 second on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To speak to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, call 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. If you've recently been through a breakup and are looking for a second chance, wondering how you can reconcile with your ex, or if it's even possible after all you've been through, Dr. Turndorf's latest book, Make Up, Don't Break Up, presents her five-step plan for reconciling with your ex. This plan was developed out of years of research, working with thousands of couples at her Center for Emotional Communication. This is a proven no-hype and no-nonsense method that gets right to the root of the problem to guide you to the right path towards reigniting a lasting relationship. For more about Make Up, Don't Break Up, visit AskDrLove.com. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
I'm at the point in my show where I'm answering some questions that came in. And this one is kind of short and sweet, although not so sweet. It's called, Is This Relationship Worth Saving? Hello there, relationship guru. I'm living with my boyfriend of 1.5 years. Every day he gets up and starts swearing. If he broke an egg yellow or anything, every day he'll end up and throw some mini tantrum and throws off my day. Early a.m. and then in the car regarding the traffic and then any of my daily cooking catastrophes. His stepmom owns a deli and he's been supremely spoiled food-wise. He consistently puts down everything I make. I cook for nutritional value and calories, while he's always concerned about maximized taste and texture, etc., etc., etc. He's driving me knucking futz. He's enervating me to no end, and really, in the end, couldn't care less about my counterattack, daily protests, threats to leave. I've gained 20-plus pounds since we've been together, as he's always served equal portions. That's way over my limit. Of course, I pig out because it's there. He feels that my environment that I grew up in is not realistic and I should shut the bleep up, basically. This is a relationship that's otherwise pretty great, worth saving? How? My mom and her friends all say, forget it. Cheers and thanks very much. Well, before we evaluate whether you should stay or leave the relationship, I think it'd be good for you to look at what you might be doing to create a rocky environment. Because if you clean up your side of the fence and he's still being impossible, then you can decide whether the relationship will have a future or not. My first impression is that you are both locked in a terrible vicious cycle. You said, and I quote, despite your counterattacks, daily protests, threats to leave, he doesn't change. Did it occur to you that he might be furious at you for the counterattacks and threats? In fact, I'm thinking that he behaves the way he does to pay you back for what you've said and done to infuriate him. Now, I know you're thinking, but I didn't start behaving this way before he started bitching and complaining. But at this point, it doesn't matter who started. We can't see the forest from the trees any longer. So in order to break out of the cycle, you need to be willing to clean up your side of the fence, drop the rope. And that means you need to eliminate all the faulty fighting tactics you're using. Till death do us part, unless I kill you first, we'll show you all the fight traps and the dysfunctional fighting tactics, and it'll help you identify and eliminate them. Now, once your side of the fence is clean, we need to start from scratch. And by this, I mean, when he bitches, you need to handle him very differently than you have in the past. And if he says or does something that offends you, again, use my XY formula, which consists of stating what was said or done, and how you feel about it, and what you'd prefer. And this formula should be preceded by a disclaimer, which is a caring statement that says you're on his side and not out to deprive him of vital bodily parts. Now, there's a lot more that you need to know about how to properly address him when he's not speaking correctly to you. Now, I wish I had the space to go into full detail and the time, you know, but you're going to find a complete explanation in my book on how to communicate your discontent in a way that's going to make you make him want to hear you and respond to you. Now, there's another thing I want to also tell you, and that this relates to boundaries. You say that his tantrums ruin your day. You need to have some better boundaries, because if somebody's throwing a poop fit around you, that's him. That doesn't have to ruin your day. So if you have better boundaries, self boundaries, ego boundaries, he can have his little hissy fit and you just step over it. Just, you don't let it bother you so much, because the fact that he gets into you and then you react so much, it's fueling all of this cycle. So separate yourself from him, get some clearer boundaries, clean up your side of the fence, and stop provoking him and punishing him and retaliating. Learn how to communicate your anger properly, and then you'll see the relationship as it is in its best state, and then you could decide if it's worth salvaging or not. All right, so now I'm going to switch gears, and I'm going to put on the little white doctor coat and take out the speculum. You know, that's for the gynecological exam, because we're doing the sex question now. And this one's called, "You Masturbate as a Substitute for Sex with Your Hubby." Okay. "Dear Dr. Love, I'm very much more interested in sex than my husband, and it causes problems in our marriage because I feel he doesn't love me as much because he rejects my advances more often than not. To compensate, I masturbate fairly frequently. We've been married 14 years and have a 4-year-old son and 9-month-old. I get less sleep by far than he does, and yet he still uses the too tired excuse, among others, on a regular basis. If it weren't for the kids and the fact that he is truly a good man, I'd probably already be cheating. What do I do?" Okay. Now listen, to decipher the cause of the problem, I need more info. So I'm going to ask the questions that you need to be asking yourself, and then you can answer them on your end. And these answers are going to guide you to the real cause of the problem. Now, the first thing we want to make sure of is that his health is all right, because tiredness can be a sign of depression, stress, low thyroid function, low testosterone levels, diabetes, anemia, chronic infections, and many other health conditions. So he needs to get his health checked out and rule out all physical causes of his tiredness. Now, if he checks out fine, then we can move into the emotional realm. Now, starting from the individual plane, we want to make sure that he isn't depressed or stressed out about work or family responsibilities. And if all this is a dead end, then move to the relationship. So you want to study whether your sex drives have always differed. And if they haven't, and the tiredness and lack of sexual interest is a recent development, we need to find out what set him off. Now, bet that your husband wasn't always this way, and so we need to find out what's changed for him and why. And figuring out when the problem began will give us some valuable clues as to its cause. For example, if he became too tired for sex after the birth of your child, your first child, we would need to understand why. Is he anxious about providing for the child? Is he jealous of the time you spend with the child? Does the attention you give the child awaken issues from his own childhood where he felt a parent gave his siblings more attention than he received? We also need to see if his disinterest in sex is a symptom of buried anger. So I wonder if your husband is withholding sex as a way of getting even with you. And to figure out if this is the case, you have to ask him how he feels about you in the marriage and ask him how well he thinks you're doing as his wife. And you might tell him that all behavior is a communication, and so you wonder what his sexual avoidance is telling you about how he feels about you in the marriage. And you might tell him that when someone withholds what the other person wants, in this case, when he withholds sex, it's usually because he isn't getting what he wants. And if he felt that he was getting what he wanted from you, he would be more giving toward you. Now, if you can get him talking about what's missing and you respond to his needs, you should find your sex life on the upswing and his anatomy on the upswing, too. All right, so let me know what you find out. And I've given you really the whole path to solve the problem. So that's all I've got for you today. Now I have to go outside and get with the tree guy and see how we're going to deal with this massive, massive disaster on my property. And I hope that you guys are digging out and that you're doing okay and that you're safe enough. And I will see you again next week on Ask Dr. Love Radio. Take care. Bye-bye.